from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
How you doing, bud?
Doing well. Doing very well. How are you?
Doing well. You've had a very good last 24 hours.
Yeah, it's been really good, man. So I just want to say thanks to everybody who has reached out. And I tried to get back to everybody last night because I got a ton of messages and a lot of private messages from a lot of people that were, moved or, hey, I really appreciate that. It's good encouragement. Or even people that were like, dude, thanks for sharing the story. I'm going through it too.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was great. It makes me feel good that I shared because I didn't want to and I didn't know I was going to, but I did.
It was great because, and the reaction is because you were truthful and you were honest and yeah. It was a lot of fun. So I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Anything else going on?
Leaving the show in a couple days.
Yeah, got 3 more days left.
I'm going to do my best, buddy.
All right, so I don't know how to take that. I don't know.
What? What do you mean?
This is going to go one of two ways. Either every day I'm going to get a different level of grit from you, or every day it's going to be like the lead up to vacation where...
1 foot in the parking lot.
You're
going to get me engaged on Thursday.
Yeah.
Just next 2 days.
Yeah, not worried about Thursday at all.
No, Thursday's a layup.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically going to be the Dustin Fox appreciation hour, basically. So
I told you I don't need like a parade. I mean, it'll be nice to have some, trips down memory lane. That'll be cool. But
you don't need it, but you're going to enjoy it. Enjoy every second of it. You should.
Everyone loves to be told nice things.
Yeah. I might get a couple people just to say mean things. Actually, we don't really need that. Just put something on social media. You'll find.
Surprisingly, I didn't get hardly any negative responses yesterday, and that's rare, especially for me.
They were overwhelmingly positive, but there was one that just kind of randomly came up. And dude, here's the thing: it's social media. I don't really pay that much, I put that much to it. But I was like, "I'm about my boy, man." I was like, "Wait, what are you doing? Nobody cares."
I thought I'd have more, just because people. There's some people that are just never gonna like me, and that's fine.
And by the way, there's some people who it's not even about.
I don't know if they like anybody.
No, you know what? So this is a true story. One of the most surprising things to me is how bitter people can be about a situation they've never been affiliated with and a job they've never had. It's wild to me. Like it is, and it's like an innate thing, and it really has nothing to do with anybody here.
No.
It has everything to do with them and their inability to deal. And it's wild, man. Like, every once in a while, I almost go, listen, there was a funny joke. Somebody made fun of my man boobs yesterday. And
you have man boobs?
And so I was like, okay, I got to tell you, that's a really funny joke. And the first thing was somebody just being like jumping in on me laughing about a funny joke about my obesity. And it was somebody being awful. And yeah. I was like, what's this thing? Like, what is that thing that that comes up in people that it automatically goes to just hatefulness? I don't get it, man.
It's sort of sad, but it is what it is. And like I said, everything was for the most part pretty positive yesterday. I'm very happy how it went. And it's all good, man. Like I'm in a great place.
And
I feel like there's a huge weight lifted off of me. That I've been caring for a while, and yeah, man, it feels good.
I think we're gonna have a lot of fun the next 3 days.
Yeah, dude, we're gonna have some salt and vinnies.
Some salt and vinnies? No, all the salt and vinegar eyes up in here. Well, today, kind of an important day. The Browns by 4 p.m. and the rest of the NFL getting down to the 53-man roster. Some cuts have started to come out. Obviously, yesterday we talked about the 16 players they waived. Since then, Jalen Darden, Michael Woods II amongst the wide receivers that have been moved off.
You could be making some of these names up.
I might be. Juwan Briggs, the seventh round pick. There's Michael Hampson. He's also been. That was an obvious lie. I was struggling for. You got to come up with a name before you try and say it on air. But
what about Chad Streeter?
Chad Streeter, he is gone.
Michael Hampson?
Michael Hampson.
Hampson didn't make it, man.
I know. So, no, this is the thing. If you're going to lie, you have to pre-plan the lie. And I tried to improv the lie, and it absolutely blew up in my face.
Thoughts?
It's 7 a.m.
What position was he, by the way?
That sounds like a safety
When's
to me.
When's it too early to give your kid coffee?
I would say about 7:01 in the morning. I'm going to $1
Bob
you. $1
Bob me?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Family Guy skit on the $1 Bob?
No, but I'll watch it.
So
I've never seen that show. Like, I never watched episodes of Family Guy. I just like see clips randomly in reels.
So this one, I don't even remember it.
Pretty hilarious show. I don't know how they get away with this stuff.
They got grandfathered in. Same way that, like, South Park. They can't be canceled. They've been grandfathered in. They've been this filthy for 30 years now. But the bit was the first person on the showcase is like $6.50, and the second person is like $7.50, and then the third person goes $7.51, and the second guy goes back and goes bleep you, just bleep you, and it's like yes, but I will $1 Bob somebody one day. But no, it's cut down day. We'll see if the Guardians can win a baseball game again. A lot of panic on these streets, Dustin. A
lot of panic in these streets.
Now, the big news today, though, is not anybody that has been cut or traded yet. And it was, I think there's a plausible explanation. I think there's a far-fetched explanation. And then I think there's like three in between. But basically, the thing that had some folks in a tizzy today is Mary Kay Cabot reporting that DTR had been safe. Now, that was yesterday, DTR, or earlier today. DTR is safe. He's made the roster. And apparently, he's made a push for the number two job. And the Browns are fielding offers for Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley. Now, before we get into the details of that, I don't know when you found out about this, but what was your initial reaction when that phrase came out, the Browns are fielding offers for Jameis Winston and for Tyler Huntley?
I was surprised. You know, if you knew for a fact that, and you could have a crystal ball and know that Deshaun Watson's going to play 17 games and that everything's going to be absolutely perfect, yeah, shop whoever you want. Shop Winston, shop everybody. You don't even need a backup quarterback. But the reality of the situation is you do. And, you know, Jameis Winston to me is like the perfect best backup, especially for this situation. So you're shopping him. I don't know that I buy that. I mean, maybe they are just saying that because they know they have a very, very valuable asset, because there are teams that want to have a backup, or that there are teams that feel like their starter, and now even a few weeks into camp, they're like, yeah, starter's maybe not going to get it done. We need to have some competition, or we need to have somebody who can be a backup plan. So who knows? I don't think someone's going to give like a second round pick for Jameis Winston.
I think we'll get to the price of this. There's a part of me that does find the idea funny, simply because there's been nothing but positive things and a glow from Browns fans about Jameis Winston. Like, from the moment we had him on in March, right after he signed, he gave us the "We'll protect your cholesterol" drop, which was hilarious. You know, he's been the king of the preseason of his, what is it, pregame speeches, his, oh my God, is it Hickory Dickory Doc? No, what's the nursery rhyme he quoted when he was rhyming?
It was Hickory Dickory Doc, wasn't it?
It was? No.
TikTok?
No, I don't think it was. I think I'm just grabbing nursery rhymes because my brain is not working when it should.
Old MacDonald had a farm?
No. Knick-knack paddywhack. Knick-knack paddywhack.
Give a dog a bone.
Yeah. And so there's a part of me that everybody got such immediate buy-in on Jameis that it would be kind of ironic and funny if they just were out there and like, we got a fifth rounder for Jameis, and that was just too good a value to pass up. So I'm gonna pause what I think is, or pose rather, what I think is the simplest theory on this. Because unlike Anthony Lima, who has a theory, I have many theories on this one. I think the simplest theory is, I think they let the cat out of the bag on DTR a little earlier than they expected. And Either they realized that they had cheapened the value of Tyler Huntley by taking DTR off the board, or DTR is secretly still very much in play, and they just they're basically leveraging Jameis's alleged value to show that any one of those three quarterbacks could be traded, and maybe by saying DTR is safe, maybe the best way is to try and enhance his value.
Yeah, are they juicing up his value? I think that's certainly plausible.
Or trying to salvage Tyler Huntley's value. I think that's like the basic way to look at it.
Clearly, they know they got one quarterback out of these guys, yes, out of the three that is, expendable, if
so,
you will.
So I think, again, creating doubt on letting any one of the other two quarterbacks go, whether it's Huntley or DTR, I don't know which one, I think is part of this. I also just think, like, if it's true, and because I want to get to the other conspiracy theories in a moment, but if it's true, and if they were to trade Jameis, it kind of would be the most like I haven't learned my lesson moment from an NFL GM I've ever seen, because like Jameis Winston is a better quarterback than Josh Dobbs by a pretty significant margin. He's got like 10 times of playing time in his career. He's got one of the best arms in the NFL. Like, Jameis, I think, still is a... I can't believe the guy with that... that we got to watch Desmond Ridder start for a season, that we got to watch... Gardner Minshew's... But, like, when Aiden O'Connell got the job for... O'Connell.
It doesn't matter. I just...
Oh, damn well. Like, I don't really care. But the point is...
Not going to work here anymore.
I can't believe Jameis isn't a starter.
That's from Office Space.
But that being said, you kind of gambled and lost last year by trading Josh Dobbs. If you're going to leave the idea of Deshaun's health, that it doesn't work out, to either DTR, Tyler Huntley, or the field, if you have to go to free agency again, feels a little bit too risky for a team with a lot at stake this year.
Oh, yeah. You know, the team has proven that they'll buy into whatever Stefanski's selling, and no matter who's playing quarterback, they're going to fight, and they're going to give their best effort, and they've got a very talented roster. That certainly allows them every opportunity to make the playoffs, whether Deshaun plays well or not. Can they win in the playoffs? Nah, I don't know. I mean, the point is... We're hoping that Deshaun makes it through the season. And hey, listen, he could have a setback at some point during the year. You throw Jameis in there, it keeps you afloat, and then away you go.
I just feel like we're just at the beginning of what this could mean. I just can't. And like, again, I defended DTR last year. Like, I think people who acted like he played like a slappy, I don't think he played. The Baltimore game was one of the most atrocious games we've saw. But like in that Denver game, I did see little fits and starts there of something real from DTR. So I like the kid. I think that if you had gone into the offseason with your plan to have it DTR and Huntley battle for the backup spot, I would have been okay with that. I don't know everybody else would have been okay with that. But like, that being said, when you have a veteran quarterback, you can't tell me, no one on this earth, not even the Browns, no one on earth can tell me that you feel better if DTR is your number two, if that's what comes to pass, than Jameis. And that there isn't a risk there. That doesn't mean DTR couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that he's not ready, that he hasn't taken a jump, which is part of what Mary Kay had reported in all this. It just means, like, there's so much riding on this. And if you guess wrong, and you guess wrong multiple ways, you can guess wrong on trading Jameis, and he can look elsewhere, he can look good elsewhere. There were a couple weeks of terror where Josh Dobbs looks like freaking Steve Young last year, and we were all kind of clenching just a little bit. But here's the other thing. You can then also guess wrong on choosing the wrong backup quarterback beyond Jameis if you trade him. So
yep,
that's just a lot of guesswork in a situation where, okay, even if DTR is more ready, even if DTR is like ready to be the guy now, okay, you might save some money, you might get an asset, but like how much better are you really getting if you do unload Jameis Winston?
I think you hurt the team. I think Jameis has done a nice job. Now, I would say this, and I'm curious your thoughts on it. You know, Jameis has been a leader, way more vocal than Deshaun Watson has. Do you think that there's a part of the Browns that think Jameis is not going to be a good fit for that quarterback room?
So, I'm
taking you there, aren't I?
Oh, you are, but it's okay because it's the Joe Flacco theory. And if I have to indulge the theory or the inference, like Andrew Brandt was on, I can't remember which show. I can't even remember if it was a station. My brain's not working right now, but basically, Andrew Brandt inferred that Joe Flacco's not a Cleveland Brown right now because he was too much of a threat to Deshaun Watson. So if the point is Joe has too much love in that locker room, or Joe's star and what he's accomplished is too much for Deshaun, it's a distraction to Deshaun, why would he not say the same damn thing about Jameis, who's one of the most out there person? I don't mean like out there in a bad way. I mean like most outgoing, gregarious personalities. If I got to indulge that on Joe Flacco, I've got to indulge, if they trade Jameis, that's at least maybe part of the thinking there. I think that's a great point by you.
I mean, honestly, I just had kind of thought about it on the fly. I'm sure you have it written down over there because it's something that just kind of hit me. I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes some sense. Like, that would probably be the only reason why they would ship him off is because they certainly need a legitimate backup, and he is that.
So one of the theories that you and I quickly got into there was the idea of that if the Browns are interested in shopping Jameis Winston, whether or not that has anything to do with rattling the cage of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and I think it's certainly possible.
Well, I do too, simply because I do think that was part of the rationale for Joe Flacco. I don't know if it was the entirety of the rationale. Like, guys, they might have just thought that Joe Flacco was washed and that they got the six best games that anyone's going to get under Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plausible thing. But I think one of the things that drives me crazy in life is when you try and explain somebody. You had this yesterday, trying to explain the big picture, the why.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
am I doing what I'm doing? And somebody goes, oh, because it's, and then they pick one of the things. It's like, no. I don't know if you heard the 25-minute explanation.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a lot there.
Lots unpacked.
And, dude, I don't know about you. In my life, there's usually three reasons why I make decisions. On any given thing, there's three. It's never just one thing. And so with the Flacco thing, do I think the threat to Deshaun, could that have been a part of it? Yes. I still think it was probably that Joe was, that they were worried that Joe was maybe a little bit of a flash in a pan. But I'll say this. If the idea that Jameis, who's outgoing, who's fun, who's got all this energy, if the idea is that he is a threat to Deshaun Watson, and I'm saying from their standpoint.
All right, go ahead, say it for me, because I'm going to say the exact same thing.
This thing's cooked. There's not a shot in hell this is going to work out. If we're 3 years into this and you're worried about Deshaun's psyche because of a backup quarterback, and again, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just acknowledging that could be the possibility. If we're worried about the feelings or Deshaun's ability to maintain a locker room because somebody else has, I don't know, really good at talking in front of people, if that ever came out from this, it would cause me to lose, I mean, all remaining faith that I would have in Deshaun.
I mean, I already have a little concern that he's got rabbit ears and is a little bit. I mean, and there is, what's crazy about that, dude, is like I know people in our business that are like at the top and they're still insecure.
Yeah.
Like, yep. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter whatever. It's just a character thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just there's something innate there that cannot be removed. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I never got the sense of that from Deshaun before everything happened with him. And it would be totally understandable if that were part of his process moving on from the suspension, the lawsuits, the coverage of, and how the narrative on him changed pretty much overnight once those allegations came out. At the same point, at some point, you got to move on from him. And again, I'm indulging this because I think we've all been doing a really good job at just looking the other way at our greatest fear. I certainly am. I don't want to dwell on the fact it might not work out with Deshaun because there's no, why would we be doing that? Why is that the number one thing? if that's the only way you think of the Deshaun situation, right, is just inherently negative. There's no, well, okay, but that's not how life works. He's here for contractually the next 3 years. There's really no way to get out of it that isn't excruciating and cause you to tear down the whole damn team, which you're not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there are certain pathways we have, I don't want to say avoided, but we haven't hammered the way we would if we were more confident, or honestly, if just everybody wasn't doing it.
That's right.
So, I don't think this is the case. I really don't. I would be shocked if Deshaun is such a shell of who he was as a human being, as a confident young athlete who at one point was right up there. Like, it wasn't Joe Burrow and Pat Mahomes. It was Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were two of those guys knocking on the door of Brady, knocking on the door of Aaron Rodgers. But man, when any... I just don't think the optics of trading Jameis are simple or... were pleasant for Browns fans. Now, if we're gonna go one side of the coin, we should go to the other. If you do trade Jameis, maybe it's either showing maximum faith in DTR, right? Like the kid that he.
I think it's a mistake.
You might be right. And by the way, I don't know. I like when I say you might be right. I'm not pacifying you. Like, it's a risk. It is a real risk, but. If it ends up being a positive thing about DTR, and here's the thing, one line of thinking might be, well, Jameis is better now, but if we have to break glass in case of emergency and go to another quarterback, if we have to play Jameis, we're just going to be doing the one year thing. And if we can go to DTR and he plays well, it gives you hope that you have a backup plan in case Deshaun doesn't work out. Meaning, if DTR has to play this year, he plays well, you keep winning, well, that's something that can, you know, like, if Jameis plays well, guys, he's going off to another team like Joe did. And probably, Jameis is still young enough, he's probably going to be a starter again if he plays really well and the Browns go to the playoffs.
Correct.
So, you'll have to replace him again next year. There is the idea of continuity if you feel that DTR is ready for that job. I don't love the idea of trading Jameis. I think it is a significant risk, more so than trading Josh Dobbs a year ago, who had, I think, four good games and then kind of petered out. I think Jameis could, if you needed to, I think Jameis could. There'd be some warts there. Oh, boy, would there be some interceptions there. But I think...
But a lot of touchdowns, too.
Yeah, I think Jameis could absolutely do what Joe did last year. I don't know DTR could do. But I can at least understand from the long-term ramifications of having DTR in a position to play this year, but he better play well. Because if you trade Jameis and we go back to where we were last year, where neither DTR or PJ Walker were quite ready to get to it, I mean, I'm not saying fire people, but do I think that immediately puts you on the hot seat in some way or another? Whether it's losing your job or just ratchets it up the pressure on you faster than it needs to, yeah, I think that is a fallout of moving on or picking the wrong of the two backup quarterbacks.
If like, this ultimately matters for this season, It's gonna be like dicey, don't you think? But less dicey if you have Jameis.
It's all dicey. We agree. But yeah, it feels less dicey if Jameis is there. What if they really don't like what they saw of Jameis, given that he did a lot of the work this offseason? Because that's another possible one. I don't know, man. I'm Pepe Silvia right now. I am Charlie from Always Sunny. I've got another show
I haven't seen.
I've got a cork board. There's 1,000 conspiracy theories I have on this. I don't think it's something to panic over. And I think the immediate reaction to panic, probably a little too early. But it's definitely, let me put it this way. If you're the Cleveland Browns and you make this trade, if you were, let's say somebody comes along and gives you something stupid for Jameis, you probably have to do a good job of defending this one. And that means Kevin Stefanski is going to have to answer questions on this from what he saw from DTR and answer truthfully, not some cliche that doesn't pacify anyone. And I think Andrew Berry is going to want to get out in front of the media as well. I think there's a fair amount of Browns fans who started to feel really comfortable with Jameis because they can't feel comfortable with Deshaun until Deshaun stays healthy, or in their mind, until Deshaun plays well. But this is one of those things where, okay, you're trading a backup quarterback. How can it matter? To the average fan, to the fans out there looking for something to feel comfortable about going into the season, if you don't trust the starting quarterback and you look to a veteran backup, absolutely that can be something that makes you feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like a whoopee to a 3-year-old, that absolutely can be something. This isn't a simple thing if the Browns decide to do this. I hope they know that. Which is wild that I'm saying that for a dude that's been here for 6 months.
How soon do you think they would make a move?
Well, I mean, you'd probably
think something here in the next hour?
You'd want to make it before.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
4-4, right?
Because I would think so.
Because you're going to have to make a decision. You don't want to carry four quarterbacks or expose somebody you like to waivers because you're carrying four quarterbacks to make the trade a week from now. 216-474-0092. What would your reaction be if they decided that they got a good offer for Jameis Winston and decided to trade him? I better get a good explanation on that one. The price tag. What is the price for Jameis? That's next. All right. So, what's the price? Like, if the Browns are trading Jameis Winston, what's the price that makes you go, okay, all right, I kind of see what they were going for, and maybe we'll give DTR a chance.
If you want to give DTR a chance, I guess that's fine. The guy started games for you before. He's won games for you. I don't know what it is, man. I just don't see it with him. Like, I think he's a serviceable guy. I certainly don't see a guy that's going to be an every Sunday starter.
I don't even think so. I mean, I don't think that's the point of him. I think if he's just a capable backup, you're good. And by the way, offense taken. You're grading the guy off a rookie year. You're grading the guy off a start against Baltimore where he found out at 10 a.m. and he took zero snaps with the starters. I'm officially a DTR apologist. I, on behalf of the DTR community, I would like an official apology.
On behalf of the community?
Yeah. The DTR community. Yeah. Of which I am the president, CEO, and head of the HOA. Third round pick,
yeah.
Third round.
I'll do it.
Not for DTR, for Jameis.
Oh, I don't think anybody would do it, but I'd consider it. I guess third round picks are pretty valuable.
Like, let's be honest. If they got a third round pick for him, we'd have laser eyes out, right? Would they do the Andrew Berry laser eyes have gone around social media? But like a fourth round pick, I'll be honest with you guys. Top 100 pick. Even a compensatory pick, which could be like pick 101, if it's in the top three rounds, it's really tough to haggle that'd be a bad trade. If you trade for Jameis for anything less than a fifth round pick, to me, it signals supreme confidence in DTR and probably some mix of either you didn't like what you saw from Jameis or you didn't like that maybe he presented a I don't say a threat. That's just such a heavy-handed way to think of it. But a threat to Deshaun Watson.
I think it could be. I think that could be the case, that he feels threatened by him. I think it's the only way that – I think that's the only way Jameis is gone.
If you're the Browns, how do you let that? If he feels threatened by him, how do you let that happen? Because
I can't see him going to the front office and saying, like, you know, man, Jameis is really stealing my shine. You know, like he's taken over the leadership role that I'm trying to be. I don't know.
Well, what point do you just say we're going to need you to grow up? Like I understand the power that $230 million quarterbacks. But if we're indulging this theory of whether, by the way, whether it's Deshaun says it or you just gleam it, what are you doing? There's a part of me that doesn't even want to believe what you just said, that because like I know we're new agey and it's a bunch of Ivy League guys who are just swell guys who, you know, oh gosh, don't want to start any sort of a war here internally. I understand that football guys no longer exist outside of the very, very extreme, that everybody's just some Ivy League dude that was related to somebody. I get that's how just now used to be just baseball worked that way. Now every sport works that way. Mm-hmm. So I get it. At the same point, even an Ivy League guy can man up and tell Deshaun to man up.
Yes.
Because if, and again, I don't think this is the case, but if I am indulging you on the theory that Deshaun went to them or they just sensed that Deshaun was threatened by Jameis, that might give me more incentive to keep Jameis around. Because your headspace, if that's the way you're thinking, or if that's the way we think you're thinking, that close to the season,
it's a little alarming, no?
It is like...
Like five alarm?
It is the most beta of beta. I hate that whole alpha thing, but it's the most beta of beta possible opinions to have or experiences to undertake. Let's go with James.
James.
James, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
Great, man.
Doing
how are you?
Well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, a couple of things. DTR, I'm kind of with you, Dustin. I really don't see what the hoopla is. Yeah, look like he has the stature. Look like he could be a good backup for the future. But right now, second year, we saw last year what he did when he got in there. He looked like Deshaun Kaiser. It didn't look good at all. So
Okay, the Baltimore game, yes. He didn't look like Deshaun Kaiser in the other games, where I think.
Yeah, but they really managed the man. Yeah, he looks good against, you know, third, fourth stringers. But I still want to hold on to Jameis. And Jameis, I mean, if you Deshaun, you probably are threatened a little bit by Jameis. He has the big, bubbly personality. He got the LASIK, so it kind of corrected his vision. And if you're going to trade Jameis, why do it now? No other quarterback has went down around the league. If you're going to do that, just hold off. Wait till the quarterback goes down, starting quarterback. Then you could trade Jameis. Maybe you might get a third rounder, maybe even a second rounder if a team is desperate enough. But right now, just keep it status quo, man.
Well, the reason they probably would, James, I thank you for the call, buddy. Good stuff. The reason they probably would want to trade Jameis now is that it would allow them to keep the other two quarterbacks. Part of the working theory we have here is that part of this could just be they really like DTR and they really like Tyler Huntley. Has everybody forgot that DTR was part of the Pittsburgh win? I
didn't forget it.
Did we forget that the Browns actually were in that Denver game the next week on the road, his first road start until he got hurt? And then I think it was PJ that blew the game out of the water. Do we forget that? Listen, I'm not trying to king the man. Like, he's a young guy, but, like, it's like 2.5 games, one of which should not count. Can we just do that? The Baltimore game doesn't count. Erase it from your memory.
Just erase it? Take it out?
Not on him. It was 3 weeks into his career. Or, sorry, 4 or 5 weeks into his career, he took no reps with the ones. He found out he was going to be starting at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. Even the Browns didn't think there was a chance of him starting. Yeah, that not to go all Goodwill Hunting with DTR, it's not your fault, DTR. Actually, to go full Goodwill Hunting there.
It's a great movie.
And you know
is
what?
Is that your fault? Isn't that a song?
It's not your fault? Never heard it if it is.
Yeah, it's like a rap song, isn't it? Come on, Jax.
I don't know this rap song.
Oh.
Why did you go to Jax? Well, okay, because you couldn't go to me.
He's a young boy.
Okay, what does that have to do with it?
Whatever. He's a lot younger than me. I thought he would be up on his hip hop.
But why?
Silk the Shocker.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, did you know that, or did he just say
that? No, I 1,000% No Limit, baby.
I knew the song he was talking about. I wasn't sure who sang it.
It ain't my fault. That song.
Isn't that like a 20-year-old rap song, though? Why would he know about that? He's 21.
Why are you jamming me up about that?
22. Because you jammed him up about it. Okay, you just turned 22. All right. Harry Potter just got his new wand over there, and he's talking about, okay, you were 2 when the song came out. I'm sure you were bumping in the crib to that.
Still doesn't know what a watcher warning is, but...
Why am I jamming up about it? Because it took the show to a weird place. So you jam Jax up about it. I jam you up about it. Keith then didn't really jam anybody, but gave us proper context. And here we are. It's Jam City, baby.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.